Well, very warm good morning to all of you. Wouldn't it be nice to know what fully pleases God? Not just what pleases Him, but what fully pleases God. It might be good on occasion to think about, to meditate on, to focus on that one thing alone. What is it that fully pleases God? If you were to create a list of things that you thought would fully please God, what would you put on that list? One of the first scriptures I thought of was Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. The great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great, and the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You might list Romans 12 and verse 1, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. That fully pleases God, doesn't it? You might list Galatians 6 and verse 8, sowing to the Spirit and not to the flesh. You might list the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. We could easily spend a whole year on that one focus alone, couldn't we? In our personal Bible study, going through the Bible and finding out what fully pleases God. But I wonder if you would have put on your list one thing mentioned in the Bible. I don't think I would have initially thought of this. The Apostle Paul mentioned one thing you might not have considered. And yet we spend a great deal of time doing this very thing. Colossians 1 contains a few more nuggets of things that fully please God, but I want to zero in on one of those things. Let's take a look at some of the opening words that the Apostle Paul wrote in the Colossian church, starting with Colossians 1 and verse 3. Colossians 1. In verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Right there in those two verses are a number of nuggets, aren't there? Giving thanks, praying for others, faith in Christ, and love for all the saints. Certainly would please, fully please God. But those are not my focus this morning. Verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. But I want to focus on verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Apostle Paul mentions knowledge twice here. Would you have listed increasing in the knowledge of God as fully pleasing God? I don't think I would have initially thought of that. And yet all of the things that I mentioned in the front our knowledge, aren't they? Every single one of them. But it makes perfect sense. Let's think about it. Let's notice that Paul makes a connection between fruitful work and increasing in knowledge. And he does this for good reason. You know, increasing in knowledge by itself is not enough. Unless we were living during this time of the Apostle Paul, we might not understand or appreciate why Paul is writing about increasing in knowledge here in context with bearing fruitful works. There was a common heresy back then, a heresy called Gnosticism. Now, you might have heard of that. Gnosticism means having knowledge, but not necessarily applying it. Gnostics valued enlightenment, gaining insight and knowledge. And yet they didn't see the value in using it in practical everyday life. So the Apostle Paul intentionally connects fruitful works with increasing in knowledge here. He ties the two together. Perhaps this Gnostic culture at the time influenced other verses of the Bible. You might not have thought of this as the writers were writing out some of these verses. For instance, in Romans 2 and verse 13, it says, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." And then there's another one in James 1 and verse 22. "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Those two verses, along with what Paul mentioned, and there are many others that countered this heresy of Gnosticism at that time. When we go to Sabbath services, listen to Bible studies, or attend holy day services, it is fully pleasing to God that we increase in the knowledge of God from the messages we hear, with the intent of using that knowledge and becoming fruitful in every good work. Isn't one of the big reasons we go to the feast and sit in service after service? It's to accumulate knowledge, isn't it? So that we might have fruitful works. We could even consider singing hymns in services as a form of increasing in knowledge. Listening to special music may be another way of expanding our knowledge. We even increase in knowledge on occasion talking to one another in fellowship, mentioning scriptures, reminding each other of what is in God's word. We spend a lot of personal time accumulating knowledge, don't we? In our personal Bible study, reading the Bible, comparing translations, reading articles in the magazines and booklets, writing out scriptures, memorizing important verses, even reviewing our notes from services. It made a strong impression on me, and I've mentioned this at least one other time here. I remember my mother sitting down with her typewriter and typing out the full correspondence course. Not only the answers of the Bible correspondence course, but all of the commentary, all of the questions. She wrote out the whole thing, typed it all out, and she did that day after day. As a 13-year-old, I can't tell you what an impression that made on me, especially as we are just coming into the church at that time. Her whole focus was typing out those correspondence courses, and she completed the whole set. I'm still amazed to this day. You know, it is really pleasing to God for the ABC students to come here, to take a whole year and absorb the knowledge of God. You know, it is a pleasure to come here as a student, but it's also a sacrifice. It's a break in their schedule. Some of them are going through college. And it's special to God. It means a lot to Him. It delights Him to see students taking the time to learn and grow. You know, it gives a parent a great deal of pleasure to see their children learning in school. When they bring home those report cards, to see those grades increasing, to see those high marks reflect a certain level of attaining knowledge, don't they? Good grades in history, math, and science makes a big impression. God delights in us growing in knowledge and understanding of righteousness, in understanding and growing in knowledge about His law, His commandments, His grace and mercy. He greatly delights in us growing in this knowledge. Yes, we should well note this one area that the Apostle Paul specifically mentioned when he was focusing on fully pleasing God, to be increasing in knowledge and in the will of God. That is fully pleasing to God.